You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Open to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you missed last week, we started chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 5. So get your Bibles ready to go. And again, let me just kind of let you know where we're going to be over the next few weeks. We're going to finish up verses 1 through 5 today, and then we're going to take a break from 1 Timothy for a little while. We're going to move in, as Cody said, move into our Advent season as we just celebrate the coming of Christ and who He is, His hope, and that He is our joy and love and peace, all those things as we focus in on this season. And then after the new year begins, we will get back into the book of 1 Timothy. And so I'm excited about the next month as we study that and just focus in on who Jesus is and get to worship that. So I encourage you to come and be a part. I know this is a crazy time of the year. It's just crazy. People are we get distracted, and I just want to encourage you, stay connected to the church, stay connected to the body of Christ, stay connected to community groups. That's where we walk life together, that we build relationships. And what I've noticed in 20-something years of ministry, whether it was in youth ministry, whether it's as a pastor, is that when we get disconnected from the church, we start trying to do things on our own. Our life seems crazier when we're disconnected from the body. And it's not like when we're connected that our life isn't crazy. It's just that we all of a sudden become alone, and we're not walking, and we're not staying accountable. We're not getting the support and encouragement that we need from the body of Christ. So stay connected to the body of Christ as we worship together. All right, well, let's get going on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Last week we began this two-part study. And what Paul is instructing, he's instructing Timothy about the truth that there will be those that depart from the faith or fall away, devoting themselves to the teaching of demons and deceitful spirits. Now, what was happening is that there were leaders in the church at Ephesus who had fallen away from their faith. They were teaching false doctrine. They were teaching a false gospel. And last week we asked, what does it mean? What does it really mean to depart or fall away from the faith? We also asked the question, does this passage teach that believers can lose their salvation? And I believe wholeheartedly, I believe that Scripture clearly teaches us, and listen carefully to the words I use, Scripture clearly teaches us that true believers, those that the gospel has taken root in their hearts, cannot lose their salvation. We don't wake up one day and go, oh no, I did something wrong, and so I've lost my salvation, I've got to get saved again. That's not the way it works. True believers. Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower, we looked at a couple of verses from that last week, that the gospel falls on many types of soil. Jesus himself taught that the gospel falls on many types of soil. Luke 8:15 says this, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who hear, those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Those that the gospel takes root in their heart transforms their heart. Those are true believers. But the gospel falls on many types of soil, whether it's those that don't want to hear it, those that think, oh, that's kind of cool, but then immediately turn away. Those that even listen to it for a while and they get real close, but then as soon as something bad happens, they depart from it. Or those that completely say, yeah, that was good for a while, but I do not believe that, and I will go and I will teach totally against it. And this is what we see in the book of 1 Timothy here, that there were those that had fallen away. They had gotten close to that gospel that saves them, but then rejected it and began to teach a false doctrine. We as true believers, those that the gospel has taken root in our hearts, those that Christ is the Lord of our life, we can rest in our salvation, that Christ saved us. Ephesians 1, listen to this beautiful, beautiful two verses. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't it make you smile if you know Jesus, that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've placed your faith in him, that you accepted that call on your life as the Holy Spirit called you, and you heard the word of the gospel, and it took root in your heart, and it changed you. You have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It is the guarantee of your inheritance. This passage that we're looking at in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 is not talking about true believers whose hearts have been transformed, whose hearts the gospel has taken root in. It's talking about those who heard the gospel, liked the way it sounded for a while, got very close to the gospel that saves, but then departed from it. The gospel fell on the rocks, and it did not take root in their lives. They departed from it. They fell away. They became apostates. We looked at that word last week. They became apostates and began teaching philosophies that were not the gospel at all. What is an apostate? It's someone who abandons or renunciates their religious beliefs. They abandon it. Their religious beliefs. We get confused sometimes with this word religion, don't we? Oh, I'm a very religious person. Well, what does that mean? Lots of people can be religious and not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They can look religious. They can talk religious. They can do things that sound religious or spiritual. But unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not saved. Christ is the only way. Religion is not the way to salvation. These leaders began listening to the lies of Satan. They began devoting themselves to these lies, and these lies were seared on their consciousness. We saw that in the first couple of verses. And then Satan began using these liars to teach false doctrine in the church. We must be on guard. How are we to be on guard? We must abide in the truth. We must abide in the truth of the gospel. We must stand on the truth of Jesus Christ. We must teach our children the truth of the gospel. We must protect and rescue young believers and unbelievers from the teachers of false doctrine. And we should not be surprised by this, right? Look at what Paul says in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. This is not something that we should be surprised of, and especially as it gets later and later, that it'll continue to grow. What were these leaders in the church teaching? That's what we're going to look at this morning. What were these leaders actually teaching? We see that there will be those that fall away. There will be those that teach a false doctrine. But what were they teaching, and what even does that look like today? Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 again. Let me read this to us so we can keep everything in context. So look in your Bibles, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. And then verse 3. Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Sorry, I've got to do this. Ah, that's good. It's from Sam's. Okay. So, what were they teaching? Verse 3, the message of their false teaching, the message of these apostates. What was it that they were teaching? Verse 3a says, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created. This is what we need to understand. This is the word of God. This is truth. Anything added or taken away from Scripture is that beginning point of false teaching. It's false teaching. Anytime we say, well, you know what? this is good, but I think we need to add something else to it to make it better. That is false teaching. Or when we say, you know what, this is okay, but I don't really like this passage, because then I would have to change something. Or this is not really relevant for today's culture. Then we start and we begin teaching a false doctrine. We have to be careful. This is why we must abide in the Word. If we come to church and we listen to a 30-minute sermon, and then we go home and we walk out those doors and we get in our cars and we live our lives all week and we go to our jobs and we take care of all the responsibilities of life, and we never, ever open our Bibles, and we never study Scripture, and then we come back and we listen to 30 more minutes, we're going to stay as little baby Christians. And we're going to be, it's going to be so much easier to be indoctrinated with false teaching. We must abide in the Word. We must study. And some of us might say, you know what, this is hard. Yeah, but here's the great thing. When you have Christ in your heart, the gift of the Holy Spirit then begins to teach us His Word. It helps us to understand it. But that's also why we come to Bible study, whether it's Sunday school or we go and we get with the men's group or the women's group and we look at Scripture, or we listen and we get out a Bible and we go get something that has maybe even some commentary in it. So we start studying it. We need to abide in Scripture, because if we don't grow in our faith, we stay as little babies in Christ. And the Bible clearly warns us about staying immature. Look at Ephesians 4:14. I've used this verse so many times, but listen to it. Let it soak in. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. When we don't grow in faith, we can get tossed to and fro. And with all this stuff pouring into our lives through our televisions, through the computer, through our media feeds and all this stuff, we can begin to get sidetracked and be tossed to and fro if we don't stay connected to the Word of God. We don't abide in the Word of God. Do you see how important it is to study God's Word? It is a discipline of our walk with Christ. You would think even spending 15 minutes wouldn't be that big of a deal, but I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you're just busy and you see the Bible there. It's like, oh, that just seems like such hard work to open it. I mean, I got to look and the pages and the words are small, and maybe tomorrow morning, maybe the next day. Then all of a sudden you go, it has been a week since I've opened my Bible. It's got to become a discipline of our life. We must stay in the Word of God, or we will stay little, we will stay immature, we will stay young, and it will be so much easier for the winds of every doctrine and human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes to attack our lives. Stay connected to the Word of God. Stay connected to a Bible-teaching church. Stay connected to a Bible study. Stay connected to somebody that you trust, that you walk with, that can truly hold you accountable to what the Bible is teaching. Cody and I, right now, we are praying through, as we begin next year, as we look at next spring, beginning kind of a discipleship thing. And I don't want to use the word program, I don't want to use any of those words, but it is to help us find somebody that we can meet with, that we can connect with, that we can talk to, not just to talk about a football game, not just to talk, you know, just to sit and drink coffee and say that was fun, but to truly say, what is God doing in your life? What does the Bible say about these things? We need to grow. Why do so many young Christians listen to so many lies? It's simply because they're not growing. And Satan loves to start with those little things that add or take away from the gospel, that don't seem so bad when you first hear them. And then the church of Ephesus, at this time in history, the false teachers were teaching something that when we look at it, it seems like kind of minor teachings. One was that to be spiritual or to earn salvation, one must avoid marriage. And the second was to abstain from certain foods. And we think, well, that seems so minor. Why would they be teaching that? But Satan loves to start with those little things. Things that add something to Scripture. Things that take away something from Scripture. And if we were to look at each of these two teachings, stay away from marriage or stay away from certain foods, there is a certain element of truth. There's certain things that are taught in the Bible about both of these. And what do I mean by this? Well, okay, so think about it. We know that there's nothing wrong with being single, right? The Bible actually honors that and encourages those who've been chosen to be single to stay focused on Christ. We also see that it's not wrong to abstain from food, to fast. Do we see fasting in Scripture? We saw Jesus fast. And it can be actually very important, an important part of one's prayer life. If God calls you to fast, to abstain from something for a time, but there's a reason for it. It's to stay even more focused on Christ and to let Christ tell you something or teach you something as you're praying about something. But see, what was happening in this church, what was happening in the church of Ephesus, was that these seemingly small teachings were being added to the gospel. And this is the danger. They were actually being taught as essential elements of salvation. Do you guys see the danger in that? That someone was up teaching, a leader, an elder in the church, teaching that to stay away from marriage or to stay away from certain foods, this must be accomplished in order to be saved. This goes completely against the gospel. Why does it go against the gospel? Because of this. Salvation is only through who? Who's it through? Salvation only comes through what? Jesus Christ. That's right. Not Jesus and to stay away from foods. Not Jesus and to do this thing or not to be married. Not Jesus and this. Or if you can do these things first, then Jesus is there. No, it is only through Christ. It was completely Christ's work on the cross and nothing that we can do. Ephesians 2:8. Write this verse down, memorize it, teach it to your children, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So that never can we ever say, well, I got myself saved last week. Well, I've got my certificate on my wall of that class I went through, and when I was done with that class, they said, now you can be saved. It's not that I memorized John 3:16. It's not that I did this, or I got perfect attendance for Sunday school, or this, or that I'm just a really good person. There is nothing we can do to be saved. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Is a gift so that we can't boast about it. That puts us at complete dependence upon God. That's where I always imagine myself at the foot of the cross, on my face in the dirt because of my sin and my filth, as I'm thinking about what Jesus did as he'd been crucified on the cross. But I know that he did not stay dead. He rose from the grave. But I picture myself at just the complete humility, because I know that my sin has separated me from the love of God. But through Jesus Christ, I can be seen as cleaned up. What an amazing, amazing miracle that is, the gift of salvation. And these leaders, they had the audacity to say, you know what? You need to make sure you do this and this. This was just the beginning point. These leaders were bringing in the teaching of asceticism, which is this idea of being denied marriage or certain foods. There was this idea of Gnosticism that was at that time in history, which rejected the body and taught that the body was evil. All this stuff. We need to understand that is Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient. We don't need anything else. We need to understand. We need to come to him and say, you are sufficient. There is nothing I can do, and I am filthy. You are holy. I am filthy. I can't do enough good works. I can't check off enough things on my checklist to be good. I just have to come humbly and say, Christ, thank you for this gift of salvation. I believe in you in faith. It's by grace we've been saved through faith. So we see what they were teaching. Now let's look at the error of their teachings. Starting in verse 3b. So verse 3, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. Paul begins, he at the very end of this passage, he explains the error of their teachings. The error of their false teaching was that it goes against Scripture. What they were teaching is not found in Scripture. And Paul, even in the book of Colossians, clearly warned against false teaching. In Colossians 2, 16 through 23, listen to what it says. Let's turn there. This is kind of a big passage. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 23. Listen to what Paul warns us about false teaching. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensual mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Then he quotes, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. He warns us. Why are we creating this list of things we must do to earn salvation that goes against Scripture? What these leaders were teaching went against Scripture. How do we know that? Because we see in Scripture that God created marriage between a man and a woman. He created it. He ordained it. And he said, this is good. He also created food and said, this is good. Things that God created. Remember, there is no sin. There's no darkness in God. He is holy. So what he created is good. Things that God created are good and are to be enjoyed and received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. These false teachers were refusing to recognize that everything that God created is good. Instead, they were saying, well, you've got to stay away from this if you're going to be religious. You see, when we enjoy what God created, he then is glorified. And he is the one that gets the praise. We get to thank him for what he's created. Biblical marriage is good. When Christ came, he abolished all those dietary laws that we see in the Old Testament and declared all foods clean. You see, we got to understand that those dietary laws in the Old Testament were to point Israel to holiness. It was also to show them that they could never quite do everything they needed to do, that they needed Jesus. All those, I mean, just go spend some time and you'll just be, you know, in the Old Testament and in the law, and just look at what they had to do and you'll be going, oh my gosh, How could they have ever done those things? And they couldn't. That's why they brought sacrifices in. They could never do it all. And God wanted them to understand that. He wanted them to see that they needed a Savior. They needed Jesus. He was always pointing them to Jesus. He was also helping them to be separated from the other pagan societies. He wanted them to look different. That's why he gave them all those things to do or not to do. But when Christ came, he abolished that. Christ didn't abolish holiness. He abolished all those things. He abolished those dietary laws. We don't receive our righteousness through dietary laws from abstaining from certain foods. Our righteousness comes through who? Christ alone. Now, let's stop. Let's take a step back. Can we sin in eating too much food? Yeah. Can we sin by becoming drunk on wine? Yes, that's in Scripture. Can we sin within our biblical marriage? Yes, because we live in a broken world. We are sinful people by nature, but there is no sin in what God created. Does that make sense? What God created is good, and then sin has destroyed those things, and Satan has perverted those things that God created as good. We need to seek after holiness. When we are saved, when the gospel takes root in our life and our heart is transformed and we are sealed and we have salvation through Christ alone, then we begin that process of maturing, not staying as children, but being sanctified daily through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, we become holier and holier because we are desiring to become more like Christ. So we look at Scripture and say, what is sin? What are God's commands? But the things that God created as good are not sin. Biblical marriage, food that he's provided for us. I see another danger sometimes for believers. That even as believers, as we are on this journey to become more like Christ, we sometimes begin to add and take away from Scripture. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's that road to legalism that we begin to see. We begin to add certain things to Scripture or to take away certain things from Scripture. We need to abide in Christ. We must allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to move us to a mature walk in Christ. But legalism, it's been around for thousands of years. I mean, we see it in the Pharisees. We see it since then. And it's been very interesting, especially since the creation of social media, that we as Christians begin to add certain things and take certain things away from Scripture. And I think it all starts with a desire to become more like Christ. But then there becomes that judgment that we have on people. The judgment and legalism that's kind of spewed forth in how we ought to be living as a Christian. And then we all feel guilty about things, and we all feel guilty or inadequate or confused because maybe we don't celebrate Christmas, or that person does celebrate Christmas, or we have a Santa Claus in our house, or that we don't let our kids go trick-or-treating, or that we have a fall carnival around Halloween, but it's too close to Halloween, or that we don't drink alcohol, or that we do drink alcohol, or that we go to a restaurant that has a bar at it, or that we let our children watch TV, or that we don't watch TV, or that we let our kids play on a device, or they don't play on a device, or they go to public school, or homeschool, or Christian school. Oh, I'm getting tired. That we don't speak in tongues, or we do, or that we use a King James Version Bible, and that's the only way to do that, or that we don't, or that we follow those dietary laws of the Old Testament, or whether we dance, or we play cards, or whether we play cards while we dance, whether we listen to rock and roll, or we sing hymns, or we sing choruses, or that we have drums or electric guitars in the service, that we grow our hair out, or we cut our hair short, or that we have more than 7 outfits in our closet, or that we do this, or do we that, or goodness gracious, it makes me want to pull my hair out. Anyway, it's out. I remember the young 20-something that told me a few years ago that I should try to live on $5 a week. He's like, you really need to do this. If you're going to be radical in your faith, you need to live on $5 a week. And he was telling me this as he held his $5 latte and talking on his iPhone, And then later I found out that he still lived with his parents and didn't pay any bills. Legalism is exhausting. It's exhausting. Max Lucado said this. He said, "Legalism has no pity on people. Legalism makes my opinion your burden, makes my opinion your boundary, makes my opinion your obligation." We add things to Scripture sometimes. We take things away. We need to go back to the Word of God, and we need to make sure we understand what the gospel is. We need to understand what holiness is. Now, remember, all those things, and there would be hundreds more on that list, but all those things usually stem from somebody that's just trying to live a holy life. Usually stemming from something good. And maybe for your family or for your season of that life, that needs to happen. But we need my encouragement for all of us is to seek after holiness in our lives. To allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to seek to kill sin in our lives first. To lead our families to a true understanding of the Bible, to obey God's commands, to then allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in decisions. But to look at our lives, to look at the sin in our life first. We must guard ourselves from false teaching, from deception, but we must also guard ourselves from judging out of our own things that we've added or taken away. And if God says, don't do this, then we need to listen to that. We must understand the truth and the hope of the gospel. These false teachers were saying, you need to stay away from marriage and stay away from this food. This seemed kind of meaningless things, but they were beginning at that point of false teaching, adding to the gospel. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for salvation in Christ? Aren't you thankful that your filthiness has been cleaned up? And now, if you're a believer in Jesus, you begin that road towards holiness, and I encourage you to follow that and chase. Paul says, I'm chasing after the prize. Not that I've already arrived at it, but I'm chasing after that. And it is hard to live in this culture and to be holy, and you've got to focus in on that and chase after holiness. We need to remember Romans 3, 23 and 24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ." Nothing that we had to do. It was a gift. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." What an incredible, incredible truth. Canceling the record of our debt that stood against us with those legal demands. He nailed that to the cross. He nailed our debt to the cross. There is nothing that we can do or abstain from or get right to be saved. We just come to him humbly at the foot of the cross and admit that we're sinners and then confess that Christ is Lord, that he is the only way to salvation. That is the gospel. That is how salvation comes. Let's pray together. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Anytime we hear the gospel, anytime we look at your word, we are humbled, we are convicted. Lord, let us grow in your word. Let us grow as believers so that we're not tossed to and fro by false teachings. Let us stay in your word so that we're not adding or taking away from the gospel. Let us deal with our sin. If we're believers here this morning, Lord, I know that we all have sin issues in our life. There are areas of our heart that we keep hidden. That we keep locked up. Lord, break into those areas. Let us confess those sins. Let us repent of those sins. Let us understand that there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. That it is only faith in you. It is a gift. Lord, let us grow. Let us mature. Let's allow you, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and to sanctify us. I pray if there's anyone here this morning that is feeling that call in their life, that they know they need a Savior, that they would not wait any longer. They would accept that free gift. I pray for us as Christians. We all need to grow. We all get stagnant. I get stagnant, and I've got that name pastor attached to who I am, and I get stagnant, Lord. Forgive me of that. Lord, we all need to grow. To let our roots get deeper and deeper, and the fruit to bear. I pray that you would do a mighty work in our hearts this morning. In our church. We love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray.